Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. Welcome to IWDM Radio and the Science of Health and You. We have a special presentation we're going to make tonight, and we're going to kind of make sure that you get involved tonight because this show is for you. We have a short stint with our guest tonight. Our guest speaker, he's going to be on for an hour. And we're going to leave the other hour open for you to have a discussion on our topic tonight, which is mental health, the state of the African-American mind, of the African-American mind. Now, all we have to do is basically just look around no matter where we go in our own communities. When we travel, we see it. We cut on the television set, we see it. We cut on the radio set, we see it. Everywhere we go, the internet, we see this one problem. And the focus is on this one group of people, even though everybody else is in bad shape as well, but the focus is on the African-American mind, the state of the African American community. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And the question is for you tonight. You're going to be to have some discussion, have commentary. And let's talk about what it is that we need to do and what should we be working on. How should we get organized? What strategies do we come into place? What is the action plan that we have to address our children, those children who are not yours or your children? We see what's happening with our babies walking around with their pants hanging off their butts. We see them walk around with hairdos that just don't make any sense. We see them doing things and acting in ways that they don't even contribute anything to the gross national product of this country. And if you don't contribute to the gross national product of this country, guess what? You're obsolete and you have a target on your back. That's where we are. The world has evolved to looking at a group of people who they're trying to eliminate, basically. If we look at history, we notice that in history, they have eliminated people by the thousands, by the millions. Let's think about the Aztecs. It was 40 million of them here in this Western Hemisphere. The Incas, 30 million of them. And let's not even think about our indigenous brothers who they refer to as Indians. It was almost 30 million of them. And the question is, and the question is to you tonight, what happened? We know something's wrong, but what happened? What is the scheme that's taking place in our country that we haven't been able to figure out? This puzzle that we haven't been able to put our hands on, our fingers on, to make a determining factor, why are our children in left field? Are our children acting the way that they're acting? You know, some of us who are Muslim, some may be Christian and Jews on the line tonight. It doesn't matter. We have problems with our young people. Now, young people say, you OGs, y'all don't listen to us. And the OGs say, what's wrong with y'all? So we have come to a fork in the road, a bridge where we have to be concerned about our future. Where are we going to be 20 years from now? I mean, this is a serious question. When you think about the past and what has happened to us and what's going on, something happened where the Incas and Indians and the Aztecs are no longer existing. Now, we can go to the museum and see them and read in the books all day long. They got statues standing that represent who they used to be. What's our story going to be 20 years from now? It doesn't take but a generation or two to eliminate a whole culture of people, and that's where we are today. So I just want to stage and the standards for our talk today. We're going to have, you know, a good 45 minutes of Abdul Shaheed coming on, sharing with us about our mental capability and how it works. And we stopped last week at what was wrong with our thinking process. So we're going to cover one portion of that. But next week, we're going to cover the whole concept of the mental abilities and why we can't think, why we're not processing information. Why things are happening to our children, and we ask ourselves the question, what's wrong with our children? Nothing's wrong with our children. Something happened to our children. And we're going to share with you tonight on this first session here. Part two will be next week, and you're going to get the whole story, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and the truth will help you, God. I just want to just set the stage here. Today, I was just studying. I go on to – I get these links every day about this day, what happened. So what popped up on my computer today was the advent of the oil industry, January 10th, 1901. Beaumont, Texas, the oil industry. Now, most of us don't pay attention to that. It don't mean anything. But I'm setting the stage and the standards of, if you don't know anything about the past, how do you expect to participate in the future? Anybody know what Humble Company was? Texas Company, Magnolia Petroleum? Those were the original names of these three major entities in the oil industry. Humble is now called Exxon. The Texas Company is now called Texaco. The Magnolia Petroleum Company is now called Mobil. Now, you know, what I'm saying may not even mean anything to you. But the point is, we know one thing about processes. We know one thing about growth and development. We know one thing about developing our mindsets and our thinking process and our historical content on who we are and what we are. And we know this one thing, that all we are is a culmination of our life experiences. So we don't spend our time reading and looking at history and thinking about culture, identity. We have some issues going on. I think this is just my own interpretation. We'll have a chance to discuss this as we move forward. Our children have no foundation when it comes to culture. You know, it's amazing that where there's no vision, there is no hope. And we have to pay attention to that. Where there's no vision, there's no hope. I just want you to just think about what I'm saying tonight. I want you to take this very seriously because we have an all-out war right in our faces, and we don't even know we're in the war. We have no weapons because we have no foundation. We have no weapons because we don't know what to look for. We don't know who's our enemy, who's not our enemy. How do you think our children feel being exposed to this world with no foundation, no knowledge? I'm just going to read something to you real quick just to give you a kind of a content on what's happening to us and why we find ourselves in a situation. It's called, do you know what the word culture means? What does it mean to you? I want you to just ponder on that for a while because we're going to get into this discussion tonight on what is culture. So culture is a distinct social system that is the cumulative deposit of all of our knowledge, our language, our life experiences, our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, our religion, our roles that we play in relationship to the concepts of the universe, and the possessions that we own are basically what a culture is. So what am I saying? Do we have that in our African-American community in this country? Do we understand that everything is tied into culture? If I take your culture from you, what do you have and who are you? Well, here's just another statement I want to make. The womb for progress, a culture gives birth to it. So if our children don't understand culture, how can they give birth to anything? What will be their pathway to prosperity? What will be their pathway to success? These life-giving understandings on how to nurture our children, how to share with our children, how to provide for our children, means nothing if they don't have some identity. So culture is so important. So who put this in place that we do what goes on in this culture and we don't even think about our own culture? They're about to give us Black History Month. I'm here to tell you, there's no such thing as Black History Month. When you hear that word, you step out your identity. We're not Black. They're not white. They keep using words and languages, and language is a part of our culture. They keep giving us their experience and not our experience. They keep giving us their knowledge and not our knowledge. Our values, we don't even understand what our values are, but they give us these values to live by. And these attitudes that we have right now, who attitudes are they? And what is the meaning of this language that we have? Do we understand our religious differences and what religion really is? And to tie it into the relationships and the concepts of the universe, the big creation. So if you don't have a group of people, a generation of people who don't have what we're talking about right now, we have some serious issues. But the book that I'm reading to you, I just want to share this one thing on the power of who we are, the power of what we are. It says, not since the greatness of Timbuktu has there been any descendants from Africa who stood in such a tremendous position as the African-American culture in America. Now, first of all, we have to have a culture. First of all, we have to be, you know, recipients of whatever it is we're talking about here. What are we recipients of, and how do we pass it on to our children? What are we recipients of, and how do we pass it on to our children? If we continually take someone else's education, someone else's understanding, someone else's language, someone else's beliefs, somebody else's values, somebody else's religion, knowledge, So accumulation of all these things make our culture what it is, the way we dress and how we act and our food. All this is a part of our culture, but we don't have that package in a way that we can give this to our young people or have our children in a program or family environment or community environment where we're passing on this information. That's the purpose of being here, to pass on what we've learned, mistakes or not mistakes, so they can be a better group of people, but they got to have something to hold on to. They got to have something to look at. So this foundation that we're talking about is important to our mental faculties. Our children are in trouble. We are in a mental battle, and our disposition to be able to fight this battle, we're not even prepared for the war, and our children are falling left and right. They've all turned on themselves. Why have they turned on themselves is the question I want to ask you tonight. Why are children turning on themselves? Why are women killing babies? I'm just going to say it like this. Maybe somebody's going to agree with me. You do have the right to have an abortion. But when you look at the 700,000 abortions in our community since 1971 to this day, that's a weapon of elimination to me, especially when we know that each woman in our country should be having 2.55 children and raise them to the age of 15 in order to keep your culture intact. If you don't have that sub-replacement situation in your community, you will be eliminating yourself generation by generation by generation. Ladies and gentlemen, our children are in trouble. So tonight we're going to uncover the scheme that's preventing us from being who we're supposed to be. We're going to give you some tools and some resources that help you and understand you with for you those things that's eliminating us. One of the main things that we're eliminated by is health. Health. And the word health is heal. And the word wealth is heal. So you never have health and have to accomplish good health. And you'll never be wealthy. So I hear a lot of people always talk, we're going to leave a legacy for our children. How? What are you going to leave them? Money? Money is not culture. Money is not something that continues and develops into a group of people, an ethnic group of people who have their own identity. We have Chinese Americans, we have Japanese Americans, we have German Americans, we have Asian Americans. We have all these different people who have their culture intact. We are the only group of people in the world who don't have our culture. But we also the only people in the world who slave to somebody else, even though we still call ourselves being free and being able to get a great education. So we're going to start with some very basic tools tonight. I want to share with you a couple things so we can shift this paradigm. Paradigm for our thinking must change. This paradigm for who we are and what we are, it has to change, ladies and gentlemen, or we won't be around here in 20 years. We got to sit down and do some scientific research. We're so overwhelmed with poverty. We're so overwhelmed with trying to find out how to make it. We're so overwhelmed with information that don't even belong to us, disinformation that they use against us. We're so overwhelmed with things we can't even think our way out of a wet paper bag. We're here in America, and 90% of us probably don't even know what type of system we live in economically. We surely don't know the political system because the political system is outrageously crazy, and they're demonstrating every day that the political system is not in accordance with our thinking process. Our educational system is somebody else's education system. So we send our children to a stranger every day, and you wonder when he come home what's wrong with him? Our socialization. We have indoctrinated ourselves into another person's culture, and we want to be like Mike. But do you know that Michael Jordan owns a liquor company, and liquor destroys the human anatomy? But this is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Guess what? Michael Jordan owns a tequila. It costs $349 a bottle. And we're trying to buy a bottle of Michael Jordan's alcohol, and alcohol is killing us. One of the biggest issues in our country right now is alcohol. It destroys the human anatomy. It denatures your enzymes. You can't even function. Hello, we love Michael Jordan, though. Michael Jordan the bomb. You know, Michael Jordan is what's happening. Tobacco industry, a $297 billion industry that has almost 30 different chemicals in it. Formaldehyde, ammonia, and our children are walking around smoking cigarettes. We as adults walking around smoking cigarettes. But what does a cigarette do to your body? Do we ever ask ourselves these questions? And are we able to share these questions with our children? We can't tell them to stop. Go. We don't know what to tell them why they should stop. Other than the fact that cigarettes are addictive with nicotine, that's not going to stop a child. You have to give me some basic research. You have to give me something I can hang on to, that I can discuss and have a conversation with somebody about. $297 billion a year in cigarette sales. Now, let's not talk about the blunt. Now, kids are walking around smoking this marijuana, smoking tobacco leaves, straight up nicotine. But yet they put their marijuana, they think it's marijuana, and it's tobacco leaf, and they're smoking on it. And you know good and well, if you've been around and walking the streets, you know this smells like chemicals. That's what's in this stuff. Chemicals. They're not smoking marijuana, ladies and gentlemen. They're smoking chemicals. But what are those chemicals? Have we ever asked ourselves that question? But we're going to ask you tonight to discuss this with us. We're going to ask you to bring it to the table, bring it to the lab. We're here tonight. So once again, welcome to IWDM Radio. This is the Science of Helping You. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. And we're talking about mental health, the war of a mental balance that's taking place with our children. We want to address this tonight. We want you to have a great discussion in our second hour. So the microphones will be open for you. It's not for me tonight. I'm just raising a point. We're addressing the issue. These issues that we're addressing has to do with our future, has to do with our children, has to do with our grandchildren. What are we going to do to save our children? What are we going to do? The alcohol industry, $353 billion a year. 63% of the people in this country are avid drinkers of alcohol. Liver problems, spleen problems, kidney problems, blood problems, pancreas problems, alcohol. So we got to get high. We got to get excited. And our children are drinking this stuff. How do we talk to them and tell them why they shouldn't be? If you don't scientifically tell them, they're going to continue to drink because they saw us doing it. They see everybody else doing it. But give me a reason why I shouldn't do it. That's the education. That's what we need. We need to educate ourselves so we share this information with our children, our friends, our relatives, and so forth and so on. You're not a square because you're talking this kind of talk, because you don't drink, you don't smoke. The music industry, $450 billion a year, and our children are listening to this Pied Piper music. Why do I say it's Pied Piper music? P. Diddy. Everybody love P. Diddy. He owns a 2 liquor distillery, tequilas. Master P, liquor distillery. Kevin Hart, liquor distribution. Jay-Z owns 2. Drake. Michael Jordan, Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, all these people we go to the movies and see, we spend our money, and they take our money and turn around and give it back to us in a death receipt. They're selling us alcohol. They invest their money into things that make this country go. So here's an African-American person who we look up to. At the same time, it's like he's stabbing you in your back. He's killing you, making money off you, and don't care about your life. They'll pop up and donate some money here and there because they have to, because they got tax problems. I'm a financial person. I can tell you that right now. Nobody donate money to the black community or give money to the black community. Because it's a tax write-off. It ain't because they love you, because they want to do it. It's a tax write-off. The pork industry, $67 billion industry, and we all know, whether we're Muslims or non-Muslims, whatever, you know good and well, we're not supposed to be eating pork. Because the damage that it does to our body. It's in Leviticus, in the Bible, in the Quran. We all know. Every religion knows. Yet it creates 610,000 jobs in this country. So we just talk about a little bit the tobacco, the alcohol, the music, the pork. But, you know, there's drinks that, you know, Abdushi, he always talk about certain types of beverages we should be drinking. But PepsiCo, owns all different types of drinks, all these carbonated drinks. $257 billion a year, just PepsiCo alone. You're just talking about one person. So if I'm a financial person and I want to invest into Wall Street, guess what I'm going to invest into? Tobacco, alcohol, music, pork, bad drinks, bad food. That's where my money is going, because that's what's making the country go. We can break this country overnight, just us alone, our group alone, if we quit doing some of these similar things that I'm talking to you right now. We can start our own culture, our own identity, our own programs, our own businesses. Look at the money that we spend. And look who we follow. Entertainers, sports figures, football figures. These people invest their money into things that does you bodily, mental harm. The return on Wall Street just in tobacco is 19% to 25%. Return on Wall Street in alcohol is 25% to 35%. Return on your investment in the pork industry is 18% to 22%. Return on the music industry, 30%. That's the return on the investment. So why wouldn't I invest? Pull yourself by your own bootstraps. You got to think for yourself. No, just because you made it with my money, now you're going to tell me what to do and how to do it. Nature versus nurture. We can nurture our children all we want. We can nurture them all we want. But their nature, their ability to function, if their minds are not right, if they don't have foundational understanding, if they don't have the right thought process, nature will take over. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this tonight. I don't want to bore you with all these statistics. I really don't. I just want to set the stage for this emotional drain that we have in our community, this personal development that we have to begin to look at, the work that we have to do as OGs or young, or whoever you want to call yourself. If you're over 30, you're an OG, as far as I'm concerned, because there's a generation behind you. And you don't even know what to tell them. We have our young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, having children and don't even know how to raise them. Don't even know how to provide proper education. Don't even know what school they should be going to, what information they should be studying, looking into. They bring problems home from school and you can't even answer the problems because you haven't got the information yourself because you're not educated. The world is changing. That's what I meant by 1901. The advent of the oil industry, the world changes consistently and constantly every day, and we're not prepared. We're bringing children to this world and not prepared to raise them. Think about it for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Just think about it. And you start pushing one on your phone right now, so I'm hoping I'm triggering something in you that you can contribute to this conversation tonight. We're talking about mental health. Where are we going to be 20 years from now? Those are the two questions I'm going to leave you with. Mental health, do we know that we don't know? Do we know that we don't know? Yeah, we're functional. But look at our children. They're functional too. They're the walking dead, walking around, nothing in their head, no intelligence, no ability to even think and process information, no way of determining what's right and what's wrong. And I'm telling you something, this is really, really resonating with me because I have a crack baby who I raised, not biologically mine, but I raised a crack child and I watched him from birth to 24. Nature versus nurture. I nurtured him, but his nature was it. Out of disarray because he was born with a deficiency from the very beginning. His mental connections were not connected, and I can't connect them. I can nurture them all I want, but I can't make nature do what it's supposed to do. That's supposed to be done by the parents. I hope you guys are following me today, man. I'm excited about today. I stay excited because every day I wake up, I have an opportunity to do something and make up for something I didn't know, and I learn something every time I come onto this show, and that's what we have this show. It's a learning experience. It's an educational experience. You must tell your friends. You must tell your family. You must get your children here because we're at a stage in our life where children are helpless, and we can't blame anybody but the generation before them. In a generation before them, we're supposed to be perfecting that, but we're not doing it. So this violence and injustice that's taking place in our country, these ideologies, these philosophies that our children come up with. We know they're smart. We know they're intelligent. But how do we shift that paradigm to intelligence in a way that benefits us? I just want you to think about tonight. Please, don't just let me talk. I want you to raise your hand tonight. We're going to have a conversation tonight. Our future is at stake. In 20 years, you know what? You don't have to listen to me. Do your own research. We won't be here if we continue at this rate. Physically, we may be here. Culturally, we're out to lunch. We're going to be on a plantation or reservation like our Indian brothers and sisters. We'll be in the museums. They be writing stories about, you know, the people that they had all this knowledge in their head, they couldn't do nothing with it. They couldn't even get together and work together. Why? The question I want you to keep in mind, why? Why don't we know? Why don't we understand our culture? Why don't we know how to do this? Why don't we get an education? Why? We have to ask ourselves this question. We can call each other crazy if we want to. It takes a crazy person to know a crazy person. I'm not trying to be funny, but we don't come up with an action plan. We don't come up with a think tank. We don't come up with those tools that we need to make sure our children are able to sustain themselves and be able to make it to another generation. We got to change it. I'm going to say this one more time to you guys, and I'm going to get off and have my brother come on because he has a previous engagement. I just want to set the stage because we're going to continue this for the rest of this month, warm right into what we call Black History Month. Don't you ever tell me about no Black History Month. It's the African-American Heritage New Year, the renaissance of Black History Month. We're going to change the language. That's part of our culture, our language. Well, that's our language right now. Let's quit listening to people who tell us about black. They're going to black this out. So I heard one of my brothers say about black, be lack. You lacking. You lacking to be. Look at the label they put on us, and we just accept it. We are the we're going to celebrate the African American Heritage New Year, the Renaissance of Black History Month. Just saying it right now. We got to start with something. The process has to start. Let's put it in the atmosphere, just like we put in the atmosphere about the Quran. Set yourself free in 2023 with the language from the Quran. Whether you know it or not, there is no other language on this planet who is ever going to teach us what our book, good book, teaches us. When God gives us a message, that's his message to us. If we don't use that message to grow our lives and teach our children, you know, you've got to use another language in the language of this Quran, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's word. It is revelation. It's not mine. So we just take this revelation and just see how I'm making to each other. Hello to each other. What language are we using? It should be in us. When it's in us, it'll come out in a way that everybody can appreciate and accept. Just like our brother George Washington Carver. He spoke a language that was so unique that everybody came running to hear what he had to say because the times and the conditions were so devastating. So we're going to talk about what we started off last week with. That was the why our brains are not functioning right. And I know Abdul Shaheed doesn't have a lot of time. Well, I want him to put in a good 40 minutes or whatever he can put in. And we're going to, when he leaves, we're going to have this conversation. Start raising your hand. Let's just talk about it. Let's have a fireside chat. I want your comments. Don't let me just sit here and run off at the mouth and throw statistics at you that are not relevant. It should provoke thought. And that's what we're trying to do, provoke thought. This is IWDM Radio, the science of health in you. And our show is designed to provide you with education, with information that could change your life. This interactive lab is designed to discuss a wide array of self-care initiatives for optimal health, optimal healing, the study of the human cell. 200 cell types in this thing that we walk around every day. 75 trillion cells that we don't even understand. So now we're going to talk about know thyself, but we're going to take the F off and say know thyself. With that, I want to bring our brother on to talk about health flaws and talk about the mental conditions that we find ourselves in. Let's just get downright easy, downright to the bottom line and just see it. Where we can understand it, so we can make sure we get what you're saying. Because sometimes I don't know if we get it or not. And I ain't going to worry about that because that's up to each and every individual to do their own research and understand it. But don't take this education lightly. Do not take this information lightly, ladies and gentlemen. This is life-giving information for the first time in our lives to know about how our body works properly without going to Dr. Frankenstein and telling my head hurt, my toe hurt, my hip hurt, my knee hurt. And we can correct all those things with the study of the human cell. So with that, I bring my brother on the line, Abdul Shaheed from the American School of Symptometry. Brother instructor, I'm sorry I took a little bit too long. I took about 10 minutes I should have taken. But I just want people to understand
you're fine, Brother Rashid.
Thinking.
You are so fine. You're fine. You're right on time. You're right on cue.
Okay. Thank you.
Right
on
cue.
I'm dropping the mic. The floor is yours.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, to our listening audience, and we give all the praise and thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here this evening and for allowing our listeners to be here with us as well. And I apologize right up front that we won't be able to stay the whole time, but we're going to continue to set the stage. You pointed us in the right direction, Brother Rashid, and you're absolutely correct. What causes us to have intelligence? You know, the human being is supposed to be the crown of creation because he's the intelligent creature. But a human being is not a stone. We have two components, one you can see and one you cannot see. And that's where the power lies, the part that you cannot see. And all these things that's inside of us that make up the human being, the 75 trillion cells, over 200 cell types, our blood, our skin, our organs, the 11th system, all of these things work together. Even our mind is the decision maker. And here's the thing, Brother Rashid, we're going to continue on the thought that you left with, and that is, why are we missing out on so many different things? We have so many deficits in so many different areas. It is because we have diseases, and we don't know the first thing about health. What is health? People say, well, health is free of disease. What is that? Disease-free, not having a disease in the body. Brother Rashid, you know we're not supposed to have a single disease in our body.
Yes, sir.
And this is the problem. We think as we age and grow older, we're supposed to have disease. Our body's supposed to fall apart, and we call it natural. Oh, it's natural for you to have arthritis. It's natural for you to get diabetes. It's natural for you to get chronic kidney disease. All those things are abnormalcy. It's abnormalcy. A disease is an abnormality, Brother Rashid. This is the point that we want to make tonight. If we have a disease, it's an indication that we have been making mistakes and we're in an abnormal situation. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to put things back to normalcy. To put things back to normalcy. A disease is an abnormality in the blood, in the tissues, in the lymphatic system, anywhere in the body. Anywhere. In the cells, an abnormality. In an anomaly, something that's not normal, is not supposed to exist. If we do not correct the normalcy, put things back to normalcy, if we don't correct the abnormalcy and put it back to normalcy, the symptom and the disease will take us out of here. That means it will kill us. The symptom and the disease are not meant to kill us. They are there to get our attention, so we put things back to normalcy. We get back to normalcy. See, there are universal laws, Brother Rashid. Universal laws.
Yes.
And no one has educated us on these laws. We have nothing to do with them. But here's what the first law says. What is old must be new, renewed. If we have old dead cells in us that cannot carry out the function of a new cell, we have a problem. We're breaking the law, the natural law. And whatever is weak should be strengthened. If we have a weak heart, weak lung, our frame, our skeletal system is being weakened. It is our responsibility to strengthen it, but nobody is teaching us how to do it. And finally, whatever is abnormal should be put back to normalcy. Normalcy must replace abnormalcy. If not, you're going to die. You're on a paradigm of exodus. And this is why you see our population dwindling, Brother Rashid.
Yeah.
How do we get back to normalcy? How do we get back to normalcy? It is ourselves that in charge of getting us back to normalcy. Ourselves. They are in charge. They know how to put things back together. We give them what they need. We give ourselves what they need. Every part of our body is made up of cells. Our organs, our tissue, our blood, everything, our membrane, made up of cells. And they are in charge of keeping us on a paradigm of normalcy. But when we neglect them, not giving them what they need, they will produce symptoms and disease to get our attention. If we fail to understand what language they are speaking to us, if we fail to understand the language of symptoms, well, we're going to die. I want to bring this point home, Brother Rashid. We're going to die.
About body language. Body language.
Yes. I say I give up all kind of messages and symptoms, sometimes 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years before the disease occur. But we ignore them. We ignore the blood impurities that circulate in our blood. Brother Rashid, in Centometry, we are studying blood impurity. We up to number 68 blood impurity that's circulating in human being blood, blocking things from happening, slowing down the circulation of blood. And people say, well, the doctor say I got a neuropathy. I can't feel my feet. Well, blood impurities. And the cells have been neglected for so long, there's blockages there, and there's poison and garbage and toxic throughout the body circulating in your blood called blood impurities. So we have to get to the bottom of this. Brother Rashid, we are under control by our cells. They have to produce neurons, neurotransmitter, neurochemical, hormone, enzymes, and they have to also produce energy. But we have to give them the nutrients, and we have to remove the garbage from our cells. That's things that we have to do. It's more to it than being healthy. It's more to it being healthy than eating some food, drinking some water, drinking a velvet, and going to the bathroom a few times a day. That's about 10% what need to happen, about 10%. Where are you going to learn the other 90% from? Who's teaching you the 90% so you can think clearly, be in control of your faculties? If we cannot produce those things I just mentioned, Brother Rashid, especially the neurotransmitter, and we're going to talk about one in particular with the time that I have left. And then we're going to talk more about it, God willing, on next week, part two.
Yes, sir, part two, three, four, and five. We're not going to stop.
Absolutely. Because if we don't get this right, no point in going any further. The human being is not just a creature, an animal. We're supposed to be intelligent, but we're not born intelligent. We're not born intelligent. We have to develop and grow into being human. To become a human is a process, Brother Rashid. It's a process.
Yeah. I understand. Seriously.
It's a process, and many of us are avoiding the process to become human beings. And I said earlier that our cells are in charge. If we eat food that denatures the enzyme that they're trying to produce, that's the first essential that our cell produce. Our cell produce everything, Brother Rashid. They are like mini factory. Mini factory. They produce everything because they're a factory that produce brain is central, body is central, cell is central. They produce neurotransmitter. They produce neurochemical. They produce neuron. They produce hormone, enzyme. Hundreds of thousands of these things. And if my cell cannot produce them because of what you did and what you ate and what you did not eat and what supplement you took or did not take and what water you drink or did not drink and what beverages you drink or did not drink, the cell would be compelled to produce symptoms and disease, even though we're not supposed to have a disease because a disease is a malfunctioning, an anomaly. It's not normal, and it's our responsibility to put things back to normalcy. That's what being healthy is all about. Balance, homeostasis, equilibrium. So there's a neurotransmitter that the human being must produce in order to be an intelligent creature. Isn't that amazing? If you can't produce that neurotransmitter, you would not be intelligent.
Yeah, that's our subject for tonight, mental health. So take it.
And if you cannot produce this neurotransmitter, Brother Rashid, you would have all kind of mental issues and emotional issues. Bipolar, schizophrenic, paranoia, unexplained fears. How do you produce this acetylcholine? Where does it come from? It is the most dominant neurotransmitter in the human body. The most prevalent one in the human body. And most people don't even know anything about it. Not the first thing. It is the neurotransmitter for intelligence and many other different things. And we're going to try to discuss or share some information on acetylcholine before we have to leave. Contrary to popular opinion, acetylcholine is not made with choline, which is a B vitamin. Just because it's N in choline, people think, okay, well, that's what it's made out of. It is the most sprawling neurotransmitter that the ribosomal RNA in the brain cell produces. It's produced by ribosomal RNA. That is the RNA that does most of the work to produce all our brain essential, body essential, and cell essential. That's what it does. It manufactures all of these things. And when it cannot do it, we would not be on a paradigm of normalcy. Matter of fact, we'll be getting away from the norm to produce abnormalcy. We're getting away from the norm. And this is what's happening when a person is sick. And our society is sick, Brother Rashid, not only physically, but on all the different levels. Sick.
Yes.
This is how acetylcholine is produced. The ribosomal RNA produces it by attaching potassium, HDL. That's good cholesterol. This is why we need good cholesterol, not bad cholesterol. Ferric iron. We talked about ferric iron before, how important it is. It gives the cell the power, the speed, the strength, the pressure to carry out its job, its function. That's what the cells use. It also uses sodium. And these things are attached in the acetyl group. What is that? Human produced the acetyl group. From acetic acid that our cells produce, not from vinegar. Our cells produce acetic acid by oxidizing acetaldehyde. This is the process to produce acetylcholine, the most sprawling neurotransmitter in the human body. But if you cannot produce it, we're going to share some things as to what will be happening to the person. The acetaldehyde is in every fruit, but symptomatic signs recommend that only the following fruits and vegetables should be eaten for acetaldehyde. Grapefruit, pineapple, broccoli. That's it. Unfortunately, ingesting too much of these fruits can cause lung collapse or respiratory failure, especially the grapefruit, if you consume too much of it. When a cell behind is fermented to produce alcohol, you know, we take fruits and they produce alcohol. You mentioned earlier about alcohol. It's fermented fruits that produces alcohol, and that's a cell dehyd. Our own body produces it. But when you take the fruit and ferment them and produce alcohol, alcohol denatures enzyme. So whoever is drinking alcohol, they're losing or disintegrating their acetylcholine and the enzyme that accompany it. That's what's happening. That's why a person who are drunk, so to speak, have just not lost all of their clarity, their mental awareness. They don't even know where they are, and they're getting behind the steering wheel.
That's what I was just thinking.
They're getting behind the steering wheel. They're irrational. They cannot even think rationally because they have destroyed their acetylcholine. So imagine a person is drunk on alcohol because alcohol denatures enzyme. The enzyme to produce acetylcholine is TPP, speed up the production of acetylcholine. And the person denatured the enzyme, make it worthless. See how these things are connected. We must learn to make connection. The universe is speaking to us. Our own body is speaking to us, and we're not listening. We're not hearing them. So fermented fruits produce alcohol from a cell behind. This is why the person who's drunk is tipsy. And the fermented acetaldehyde significantly and temporarily reduced the amount of acetylcholine in the person for reflex reaction. Mm-hmm. Reflex supposed to move in seconds, milliseconds. Your reflex supposed to work in milliseconds. But a person who's drunk and tipsy, those reflex will be slowed down, Brother Rashid.
Slowed
down.
Well, those of us who've been able to drink back in the day.
Back in the day. They have that memory. They remember.
We already know that once you get intoxicated, man, you are not even part of this system anymore. Your whole system breaks down. Go ahead, my brother. It's not funny.
Exactly.
Because we talk about our mind. That's our intellect, and that's so dangerous. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes. So it affects reasoning. It affects analysis, it affects being lucid and clear, it affects the person's memory, and of course it affects the person thinking, they think they can fly, and then they jump off the building, right?
Right, I'm saying.
But the same effect, Brother Rashid, the person do not have to drink alcohol. If they do anything to the nature of the enzyme that produce acetylcholine, they get the same effect.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? What's been said here?
Yes. Now that right there is powerful. You don't have to drink alcohol.
This is what we're saying. What denature enzyme? The person now needs to know what denature enzyme. And we talked about those things. Poison. A kill in pharmaceutical drugs. If you take drugs, there are a kill in drugs. A substance that removes hydrogen from the person's cell. If you do not have hydrogen, the cell cannot produce heat nor water. Thermal energy is paramount for cellular health. It denatures enzyme if you use pharmaceutical drug because of the alkyl. If you use or expose yourself to radiation, it can come from the microwave, your cell phone, or it can come from some medical procedures. Denature enzyme. Acidosis. Those people who eat acidic food and drinking acidic beverages like coffee, tea, Gatorade, all these things, very acidic. You change the pH of your system. Those people who want to alkalize their body, alkalosis, also denature enzyme. Those people who drinking 8.5, 9.5, 10.2 water, they're denaturing the enzyme. The enzyme called TPP that speed up the production of acetylcholine, they will not be functioning as a human being on this planet.
Say it one more time.
Other toxic, heavy metal, metal that's in the water, lead, aluminum, all these metal, mercury, they're in the air, they're in the water, they're in the food, they're on the plants. Plant pull heavy metal out of the soil and out of the air. That's what they do. Then you eat them raw. Oh, you're going to denature the enzyme TPP. You won't be able to produce acetylcholine. You're going to be stupid. This is what's going to happen to the person. They make stupid decisions, and they cannot correct their mistakes. They'll be making error after error after error. Matter of fact, they'll be repeating their mistakes. Mistakes are not to be repeated. They are to be corrected. We are to correct the mistakes of our parents, Brother Rashid. This is how delicate it is. And you mentioned culture. Culture should be a correcting pathway for young people to the next life. And that's the life beyond their parents. Just think about it. But the culture that we are developing is destroying our youth.
Yes.
Because of these conditions in our brain. Because of these conditions in our brain.
Our youth.
So those are things besides the alcoholic beverages. And you don't have to drink liquor. That's beer and all the other stuff. Wine, that they say that's healthy for you. They are liars. You denature enzyme with these. And the body will come to a grinding halt without enzyme. Without enzyme, a grinding halt. Even the substance that's in a vaccine. Denature enzyme, Brother Rashid, I have to tell the truth. If you take one, your enzyme will be denatured, made worthless. They will not work for you. And this is what will be happening. They will not work. So we denature the enzyme, Brother Rashid, then we will be in a bad fix. Poison also includes viral poison from microbes like viruses, bacteria, protozoa, fungus, mold, parasites like worms, thread worm, round worm, fluke worms, all these things inside of us. We don't wash our hands. We go outside, we go to the restroom, we don't wash our hands. And we come back and we let these squatters into our body and they dominate because they are comfortable there. All the food that you're eating, you craving all these different foods and all. No, it's the parasites inside of you. They're making you think that you're craving so you can go get these things for them. it's just funny, Brother Rashid, for people who do not know that this is what's happening to them.
You got to smile to keep them crying. I'm telling you.
Exactly. Nobody's teaching our people what's going on. This is a world filled with illusion and booby traps everywhere. There's booby traps everywhere. Nobody is teaching us how to navigate planet Earth. There's predators, one that you can see with two legs, and other ones that you cannot see called microbes. They're everywhere. Brother Rashid, I hate to depart, but time is getting up on us.
Well, that's a prelude to what we're going to be looking forward to for the rest of this month, for the rest
yes.
of February. We're talking about the human capability and possibility. So I just wanted to set the stage for that. And we're going to have this discussion. Those who are on the line, press 1 on your phone, please. This is IWDM Radio, the science of health and you. I'm Rashid Talam, your host and engineer for tonight's show. My brother, we thank you for everything that you said to this day. But those who are on the telephone, I hope and pray that you look forward to next Tuesday.
Yeah, they should be present next Tuesday. Yes.
We're about to get into how the body works from head to toe.
Absolutely.
Every vein, every capillary, every muscle. We're going to teach you about you. And that's what this show is about, the science of health in you. So you got 8 seconds, my brother. I know it's come to you. Why don't you just give us a shout-out, and we'll take it from here, brother.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to share the information, but we're looking forward to next week. It's going to be a blast, Brother Rashid, because we're going to understand what a human being is. A human being is controlled by hormone, enzyme, neurotransmitter, neurochemical, all these different things. If you cannot produce these things, you will not be on a paradigm of normalcy as a human being. You'll be abnormal. And then a cell would be compelled to produce symptom and disease. And this is what we ended up with. More people are sick and dying today than ever. And they don't have a clue. You can't run to the doctor because he do not know how to reverse your symptom and cure your disease. He's not in that kind of business. He's in the business of repeat business to treat your symptom, and you got to keep coming back to him. I'm sorry to bring this truth to you, but we'll talk more about it on next week, Brother Rashid. I'm going to have to get my salam and exit.
Yes, sir.
And I hate to run, but I have no choice right now.
You left us with a whole conversation. We sitting here at the fireside ready to have a conversation, brother. That's all I want to do tonight because I need you. So you take care of your business. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. And we extend the greeting of peace to everyone.
Yes, sir.
We extend the greeting of peace to everyone. But before we do, we'll give our phone number and our email address so you can contact us if there's a need. Our phone number is 678-572-7269. 678-572-7269. And you may also send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And please visit this website. It is the website for the American School of Symptometry Not-for-Profit, amsos.org. Brother Rashid, we give everyone the greeting of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Peace
be unto you.
Thank you so much, my brother. Now it's
time
to pose the question to the listening audience. I don't want to do any talking. I want to hear your comments. It's about our children. It's about our future. They say children are our future. Well, if that's the case, what are they going to use to have a future? If we don't know, they don't know. So this is what this show is all about, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to know how important it is. How important it is for us to make sure that we pass this message on. We can change our whole dynamic as a culture people. Our whole dynamic can change overnight if we just come together, understand that we have a culture that has not been utilized. And before I start, most of you guys are raising your hand. Let me just read this one more time to you about what culture is. Culture is a social system that is the cumulative deposit of all our knowledge. We've been using other people's knowledge. All our language, we've been using other people's language. Our life experiences. Our belief systems, our values, our attitudes, our means of the hierarchy of religion and other things, our roles that we play in understanding the universal order of things. And know that your culture is the womb that births the progress. So our children don't have these things. If they don't have this social system in place, if they don't have the knowledge, the language, the experience, the beliefs, the values, the attitude, and the means of life, how do they birth anything? How will they have a path to prosperity? How will they have a path to prosperity? That's our job when we have children. And my concern, you hear me say this every week, my daughter, my son, and my grandbabies, that's what I'm working for. That's what I'm studying for, to make sure that my granddaughter is on a social system, a system that she can take care of herself without someone's help and know what's happening with her human body. They need to be aware of what this thing is called the human anatomy. They got to need to, you know, I got a vagina, I got a penis. Well, explain it to them early on. Don't wait till they're 15 to 16, next thing you know they're pregnant. Don't know how to control their emotions because they don't have an understanding of culture, identity, and why these particular equipments are on our bodies. Goodness, y'all, I'm telling you, I'm excited. We're talking about the laws of health, the mouth, the throat, the skin, the vagina, the anus, the esophagus, the colon, the prostate. Oh, man, it's just so much to this body. It seems like it's a lot, but guess what? It's okay. It's okay. We can learn this. If we want a future, we have to know this. So with that, you know, we talked about in our opening about how our children are listening to all these rappers and how all these rappers are having all these alcohol distributorships, and they're killing our babies, all the way down to Drake, Jay-Z, P. Diddy, you know, all these so-called rappers who claim to be Afrocentric are selling our children and selling you, those of you who may not be of a particular religious persuasion, the drinks that they sell us, the alcohol that they sell, the tobacco usage. Billions and billions of dollars go out of our community. The African-American community is $1.3 trillion in purchasing power. And all we do, we get paid on one day, we give it back to the same people, and this cycle continues, and we continue in this cycle that we're in, but we got to get out of that. And that's what we're going to concentrate on in 2023. It ain't about me, it's about we. Turn that M upside down. It's all about you. So we're going to take our first caller. We have 773-449-8104. Please state your name, tell us where you're calling from, and any comment you may have, any discussion you want to have with us, talk to us.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashid. This is Damir Muhammad from Chicago. I am touched, moved, and inspired for this transformational conversation for moving into action, like you said, and setting things in place for our children, for ourselves and our children's future.
Yes.
It's so important, you know, even for the mother, even before she conceived, that she have the proper diet so that those cells and tissues can be nurtured while they're in the womb. And then to concern herself with their nutritional intakes after they, you know, they're born. So it's so incompetent on us that we be conscientious of how we feed ourselves and how we feed our children. And I'm telling you, this is what they're giving us. It's supposed to be food. They slip in these chemicals. And, I mean, some of them are obvious because you can some labels you read, they read like a paragraph. And you're like, do you take all this here for the preparation of food? No, they're slipping our death. They're slipping our death in our food. You know, you either eat to live or you eat to die, you know. So it's incompetent for us to be conscientious what we put into our body. And the brother just was speaking, he had my undivided attention, you know.
Yes.
And so I just say I thank Allah for this program and me having the opportunity to, you know, to hear this language and this message. And like you said, you have to not just hear the message, but you have to be in action and be proactive. So I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate that brothers giving us this kind of information. Assalamu alaikum.
We thank you so much for your comments. You know, all of us who live in a community, we need to get involved in our community. We need to join the neighborhood associations. We need to join our school PTA, whether we have children in school or not. We need to participate because this message, you're talking about criminal behavior because you don't eat right. And as you just said to us, if you don't have these tools, Amira, your brain is not even functioning. You can't even process information. Our arteries are blocked. Blood is not flowing. They label us with ADHD and all these different titles that they give us. And you know what? It's only because of the content of what we put in our bodies. You know, the American Psychology Association came out and told us, I was in Oakland, California, that we have gone to school to be psychiatrists. We can't help African-American people with what they taught us in school. It doesn't work. So that should tell us something. We should be ringing in our ears. Wait a minute. If the psychologist can't help us, who's going to help us? Who's going to deal with our trauma? Who's going to deal with our physical being? And you're going to go to a doctor whose sole purpose is to be a practitioner and ask him, I got a stomach ache. My child has a fever. Wait a minute. Who are these people? Who are these people? We have to do research. We have to study to make sure that if I go to the hospital, it's a serious emergency. Because I don't need to talk to Dr. Frankenstein. They have never told us the truth about that. Never told us. They've never given us the right food from the times of slavery. Here we go with that childhood adverse conditions that we had in slavery. What did they give us? They gave us garbage, and we made it taste good.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this for you. So what they say, well, black people can make it taste good. We can make it taste good, too. We don't know what they're feeding us. They just make it taste good. So we have to get involved. And we, as a community, we have to get involved. We have to start forming relationships and start developing, crews that go out and start talking in our neighborhoods and talking to our teachers. And you know what? The food that they're giving us, we got to say, look,
I got a can of chicken noodle soup right here in my face right now. My daughter said, Dad, you've been feeding us this stuff already. Now you're going to tell me what's right and what's wrong. It says, ingredients. It says, this food contains traces of wheat. This food contains bioengineered food ingredients from corn and soy. And this food has modified crops, genetically modified crops, in a can of chicken noodle soup.
Ew.
We can cook chicken noodle soup at home. Just get us some noodles and go to the chicken and hook it up. We don't need all this stuff in here. Cornstarch, sugar, natural flavor, vegetable oil, which we know is bad for us, dried chicken, yeast extract, modified cornstarch. Come on now. Modified cornstarch? We're being poisoned every single day. We got to know how to clean ourselves out. And that's what Satometry is all about. And this is what we thank you for coming on the show. You got to tell somebody else about it. You got to bring somebody to the table. Invite somebody over for dinner. Just cut the show on. Don't even tell them what's happening. They need to hear this. So, Amira, thank you so much. You please press 1 on your phone. If you have another question, please press 1 and come back in, okay? All right. We have 317. Wait a minute. Let me get you right here. 317-709. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. And welcome to IWDM Radio. Your mic is open.
Yes, Dennis, Indianapolis, Indiana. And I'm going to bring you to a real good understanding. First,
come on with it. What's your name again? State your name.
Indiana thing. It starts at home.
Okay.
You have to have your black history book, which is a family album. Then, when you come down to educating your youth, like you say, the hairstyles, sometimes you have to put pictures of black within the pictures of the past inventions. Just remember, where are our inventors who came on the African ship? If we don't see them today in school, the children won't know. So we look at the different celebrities endorsing alcohol at home. You have to realize, don't drink alcohol. Go back to the days of Nation Islam, Omar juice. You got to realize natural, and also the basics, and at home. And when you take your children to the barbershop, usually they see an image. So if you stand in front of the child, just like most men, when the sons marry somebody, they go through the era of finding out who they're married before they marry, because number one, you don't want to marry your relative. So it starts at home, it starts with the parents, and it's very delicate because the seen the unseen. If a child don't see an image that gives him respect in life going to school, he would never be happy when he graduates. I'm going to leave right there.
Right.
Many other things can be touched, though, because it's serious, the mind.
Right.
The child is programmed to think other than what his life is about or his past history.
Mm-hmm.
Because history repeats itself, but you've got to be able to put the right formula together for the child to know that he's a child first. He's not a man. Bring them up right. I come later.
Okay. I mean, you said the right words, my brother. It starts at home. And that's why we have this show, my good brother, is to be able to inform the parents and to how we begin this process. You know, we have to think right. You know what I'm saying? So we have to eat right. We have to do right. We can't do all those things that they're out there doing. We have to demonstrate and be an excellent model for our children to see. You can't be what you can't see. You know what I'm saying? You just can't be what you can't see. If you don't demonstrate that, if you don't show that, what path do they have? What foundation do they stand on? When the wind blows, they're going to go with the wind. When a friend says, come on, let's go over here, they're going to do that. Come on, smoke this joint, they're going to do that. Why? Because we have not given them a foundation and the understanding of why I shouldn't do that. You don't have to, you don't do that. No, teach them, educate them, show them how to scientifically look at these particular things. And you're absolutely correct. And thank you so much for your message of starting at home. We have to have pictures. We have inventors. If we just look at our black inventors, it will blow the average African-American child away on what we've done, the history of who we are. It's amazing. We have the most astounding. We don't have to go back to Africa. Just look at what we've done in America, and we have been depleted and taken away all our knowledge, all our language, and we still became the best inventors on the planet Earth. You know, we look at George Washington Carver, how they called him overseas to come and help them. That was an African-American man who grew up during slavery time in the 1800s. What you calling on him for? That same
intelligence. That same mindset is in our children today. They are super, super intelligent. They just need guidance, and we must get out in our neighborhood. Start with our own block and just start talking to children. We got to find a way to do this, my brother. We just have to find a way to do it. We're going to continue this conversation all the way through February, all the way through the rest of this year, until we get up and do what we're supposed to do and save our babies, because they are on the borderline of being taken off the planet mentally. So thank you so much for your statement. And push one on your phone, please, so I can take you out of the queue. If you have another question, please press one again. Thank you so much. We have 845-506. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Hello?
845-506. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, we got you, my brother.
But
go ahead.
My number's not 845, but I'm glad you opened me up. Yeah, my name is Brian.
Oh.
Coming from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. Wow. This is New York. There's 845 on the screen, so maybe something happened here. That's okay, Brian. Tell us what you're calling from New York, and the mic is yours.
Yeah, my father, brother Yahya Bashir, had told me to tune in. So I was enjoying the conversation you got on mental issue health and what we need to do as a people to come out of the situation that we're in, that we find ourselves in. But
yes,
2023
sir.
Seems to be the best time, and you know, the present that we're in. We have the technology that, like you said about the young people listening to the music. Well, nowadays we don't have to listen to the mainstream. You don't have to cut the radio on. You can,
right,
you know, pay for things. You know, you get your own, like we're listening to your own streaming right now. So the children are, like, everybody's looking for information. I have just children, but there's grown-ups, everybody in general. So the most of the older generation still listen to CNN, MSNBC, and those stations, but the majority of people are on the Internet now, and they're looking for information. The search is on, right, for the truth. So you see Kyrie Irving figuring out if he's a Hebrew Israelite or not, and, you know, he's also into the flat earth. So he's just, you know, he's finding information on the Internet. So at this particular time, we just need more people with that information, the proper information, to feed our children. So repetition is the mother of all learning. The children are on the phone 8 to 10 hours a day. And if you're a parent, you have to understand what kind of tool and device that you're giving your children. I know you want them to be safe as they go to school. So, you know, I notice a lot of children walking to school by themselves because they have cell phones now. But what are the children doing with the cell phones? You have a powerful device in your hand, and they're being programmed. You know, repetition is the mother of all learning. And so, like I said, the symptology, you know, the health within, the vibration without, we all have to, you know, contribute to this.
Right. Let me see. What do you do, my brother?
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur right now, trying to open up another barbershop.
Okay.
And I'm hands-on with the children every day, and I talk to them every day when I, you know, get them in my chair. Some parents want to put a cell phone in their hand when they get a haircut so they can distract the child.
Right.
But I rather them not give the cell phone to the child. And, you know, back in the days, the mother used to have to walk out the barbershop when the child was crying. So if they never had a man in their life, you can see what men look like, and we don't accept, you know, we don't respond to your tears and your crying and your whining. We know that's a ploy to get what you want. We all were there. We all were children. We all cried and see if it worked, and if it didn't work, we tried another strategy.
Well, you're in an excellent place, man. The barbershop is where I learned so much in my community, man. Because we had a barber who just, when we got in the chair, he had comments. So, what you gonna grow up to be? You know, don't tell me you want a job.
Right.
I want you to be an entrepreneur. You know, they talk to us, they
share
with us, and we encourage them. They planted that seed for success. You know, they always ask us questions about Black history. Every time I went there, I better have a Black history quote. He won't even cut my hair. So I was always ready for a conversation with my barber. You know, so you were an excellent
That's how I treat that. Well, see, I figured, you know, the numbers game, when we start to speak the truth in large numbers, we become a target.
Yes.
So the barbershop was the only way that we can reach individual children, the ones that would listen, and the parents that would continue to bring them, you know, the seekers, the seekers of knowledge. And so, we're not going to save, everybody. We have to put that, you know, in the atmosphere. That a lot of us are not going to make it.
Yeah, somebody got to lead for us to succeed, you know. So the more we can put into our children's head, man, the more they may not do everything. They may do something, but all of it's contributing to the process of what we are, who we are as human beings, and developing a culture. Because they may have a child. They may not do the right thing, but they know what to do.
And like what you're saying about the neurons in the human brain, like we don't, you know, the brain doesn't shut off. I tell them that it downloads, since they understand downloading now. I said it downloads information all the time, 24/7, seven days a week, whether you want it to or not. So, you could be in a room and the radio's playing and you don't want to listen to the song, but the song is being planted in your subconscious. And, and so this is why we have to control the environment. When you understand that, you know, when I come in the barbershop, it's like, well, Matt now is not my barbershop. So when I come in there, I have to, you know, implement some of my, because, you know, I don't want to totally change the environment. But at the same time, there's an order that needs to be, and there's an environment that needs to be set.
Yeah, your presence, brother, you sound like your presence makes a major difference in this world, man. We thank you so much for calling. If just push one on your phone, you'll get out the queue. But if you have another question, another comment, let's push one again, and I'll bring you back on the line, okay?
No problem.
Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much. Wake up, smile. Okay, we have 314-305. We're talking about the STL, St. Louis. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Donna Lamont, and I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
All right. All right, Donna. I know you have some comments. I know you got a story to tell, so the mic is yours.
I have. Well, thank you. I want to start with, I very vividly remember when I was a child in the mid to late 50s, the mental health community, psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health workers all recognized that the chemicals and additives that were going into the foods had a very detrimental and effect on the behavior of the mentally ill that were institutionalized.
Yes.
So they removed red dye from the food because
red dye,
that dangerous red dye, and I'm saying that because they noticed that that red dye caused the mentally ill to behave even more aberrantly, more violently, more destructively.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not allow red dye to be used in any products or foods that the mentally ill were eating, the mentally disabled, the mentally retarded, as well as the mentally ill. So my mother was a person, she was a very intelligent woman. She came from Mississippi, but she was very intelligent. We never had Kool-Aid or any of those red dyes in the house. Also, the mothers of the United States of America, when they learned of this, they petitioned the representatives and the Senate. They petitioned Congress to remove red dye from food, especially candies.
It was that deadly. It was that deadly.
Well, it was deadly, and it caused abnormal mental behavior. I never forgot when Ronald Reagan was president. He canceled that law and began to allow food distributors and candy makers start using that red dye again.
And they lied
now,
for
this was not a Democratic thing, and this was not a Republican thing. This was the mothers that asked that dye not be put into food and candy. And here was a of a president whose friends were food makers, candy makers, who said,
absolutely,
we can make more money attracting more children if we could put that red dye poison back in this candy. And Ronald Reagan knocked that law down and allowed them to start using red dyes in the foods and
yes,
candies again.
Yes. I agree.
And then the other thing I wanted to add is, if you recall, one of the statements you made is that we get paid on Friday, and by Monday we don't have any money. It's all left our community.
That's
now,
right.
In Black Wall Street down in Oklahoma, that money stayed, that money circulated and stayed in the community, I think, for, what, 20-some days before
no,
it left
it,
the community?
It circulated 27 times before it ever left our community. In most cases, during that time period, it never left our community. That's why we was able to build and recycle and recycle and do more, because our money was always in our community. You're absolutely
yes,
correct.
And so there was a program on public television about all of the businesses. There were many Black Wall Streets in America, not just the one in Oklahoma.
Well,
and all of
now.
Them, most
Don't
of them, were
started.
Burned down and destroyed.
Don't get me started. 13 cities were burned down before 1921.
Yes, they were so
13
successful.
13 cities were burned down before 1921. Answer, like I started my program, why? We have to ask
mm-hmm.
ourselves the question. We really do.
We were very successful. And then you also had Black summer camps for children.
Mm-hmm.
I never will forget Camp Atwater up in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
You had Peg Leg Base. They had resorts. You had African American
mm-hmm.
resorts.
Yes, they did.
And yes, what closed them down was integration.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when people saw how much money that the Blacks were putting into those resorts, they said, well, listen, why don't we let them, we could be pocketing that money. And
that's
unfortunately,
right.
our people had that, the white man's ice is colder. So, okay,
yeah.
we don't have to go to Peg Leg Base. We don't have to go to this resort. We don't have to go to the Black resort. We can go to the white ones.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And see, that opened up money integrated quicker than anything.
Right.
That's
right.
money.
That's
even with the, even with the record industry. Even with the record industry.
Right.
It was all about that money.
Yes,
so
it was.
We've always had the abilities. There is no question that we are an intelligent people. But we, fortunately, even with even before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be with him, even before that, we knew we could do it. But
right.
with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had to knock that one peg out that was getting in our way. And that peg was thinking that we were less than, someone else was better than us.
Right.
And that's what he, when he came with Black power and Black pride, that's what he brought, and that's what he did. Even, what is it, James Brown said, when he did that song, said, "Lord, I'm Black and I'm proud." He told him,
yes,
W.D. Muhammad, I didn't give that to the people. I got that from your father.
Mm-hmm.
So James Brown was even listening to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Man,
and
the message
was one of the basis of that song that he wrote.
Yes, the message
so
is in
now,
the music.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's so beautiful. But, you know, we have a long way to go. And part of the thing that we've got to do is realize and understand who we are. And once we know and understand who we are and trust ourselves, we'll be fine. We've already
yes,
proven that we can do it.
Right.
We made this country great. So, of course, our greatness is evident. It's evident. Even to the, you know, that Colonial Williamsburg, they
yes.
had some homes that were deteriorating. And now this was about 40 years ago. They did not know how to remake those bricks. They had to go get an African-American man who was up in his 80s, who learned to make those bricks as a child, to come
mm-hmm.
back to Colonial Williamsburg to show them how to make the bricks to build that community.
Right.
So we got it. We just got to understand it and use it.
That's true. You know, we definitely have to do that. The hope, Donna, is this. Social integration, it was the biggest problem we had. This was a hoax that was part of a scheme that was designed to divide a simultaneously abortion of the African-American culture and direct its wealth out of this community.
What you just said
demonstrated that statement right there. You know, when you think about, we had 34 banks before 1921. We had over 1,000 mm-hmm. newspapers. We had hospitals. We had pharmacists. We you know, back in those days, we had 190 hospitals and training schools conducted by African-American people. We have one right here in St. Louis called Homer G. Phillips. It was one of the top-line hospitals for training doctors in the country. You know,
yes,
we had, you know, 54 accredited nursing schools. We had 4,000 physicians. We had 5,000 trained nurses, you know. 21 hospitals,
yes,
56 hospitals for graduates for nursing. We had all we needed as long as we stay with among ourselves. And that, as you said before, that was what Black Wall
mm-hmm.
Street is known for. But what they want us to remember Black Wall Street for is, they burned down the city. They owned the land. They owned 40 blocks. They owned hotels. They owned everything. They manufactured clothing, furniture. You know, hospitals,
yes,
pharmacists, they had all of it. Now, where did that come from? That's what we got to understand. How were they able to do that? And they were former slaves. That's telling you. That's a dimension. And that's that dimension
yes,
we're trying to get our children to. And that's what we're talking about. That's why we're going to stay on this path. You know, we got to get the dentists.
Yes,
they had 2,000 dentists, African-American dentists. Right now they have a problem with trying to get people to go to dental school. We don't understand, Don, and we have to get there. It's only going to start with us going back into our communities and begin to teach our children, share with our children,
mm-hmm.
but more importantly, give them the research. Let them see us.
Yes.
They never saw us. You can't be what you can't see.
Yes, sir.
So we have to show
it
to
them. I was just going to say what's interesting. You know that movie about the woman who wrote the formula to go into outer space.
Oh, you're talking about, my God. Oh,
I know
Hidden Figures.
Right on the tip of my tongue.
All three of those women, Hidden Figures. I know the lady you're talking about.
History. But you know, this is the thing. All of those women had degrees in mathematics. And none of those women went to integrated schools. Yet she had the wherewithal to put a man into orbit.
Yes,
she
indeed.
She never had white teachers. So she had
talking about
to put
Washington
a man
Carvin.
In orbit.
We talking about the George Washington Carvins of the world.
Yes.
He never learned anything from him. He didn't go to anybody's school. They learned from him.
Yes, and it's so beautiful, and a beautiful thing she used to she relied on Euclidean math, because mathematics, what do we used to say, Islam is mathematics and mathematics is
right.
Islam?
Right,
mathematics
right.
is the only exact science, and when you master mathematics, there isn't a lot that you can't do.
Right.
So when Ms. Johnson wrote the formula to put a man into orbit,
and bring him home.
She had never went to an integrated school.
And that's what blew them
so
away.
And so I think that's what makes it so hurtful for say, well, you know, Black children, they are listeners. They not readers. They learned. We learned every kind of way it is. We had the first
yes.
libraries were in Africa. They were not in Europe. So the
that's
idea
right.
that you're going to sit back and be a politician and tell somebody – that our children are can't learn through reading. They have to have an oral history. We had it all.
We had it all.
So do not shortchange us or our children.
That's right. Now, what you're saying needs to be said to our children. They need to hear this from us. Then we have to show and demonstrate that from us. We know we just have to do that. Donna, you know, in 1930, I want you to hear this. We had an insurance company who had a value of $260 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's called, you know, the National Negro Insurance Association. We owned more land, hear me, than Europeans did. We own more land. We have 51 banks capitalized with $3 million in resources. And those, in today's time, that's $30 million. So our total annual business volume was $100 million. You multiply that with in taxation inflation, we talking about $300 million. We talking about more than $250 million that we were able to accumulate in the 30s. So what happened to us was this. They saw all that money. So they created Jim Crow laws. They created legislation. They kept us away from the schools. They wouldn't allow us to participate in society. They said only way you can vote if you're white in your own land. You know, they turned all these things against us. And over that little 20, 30-year period, it turned our whole culture upside down. And that's what we're facing right now. Our culture is upside down. We have to get back. We have to get back. And it's only going to come from education and information and inspiring our children to be something that they don't know anything about. We have to show them what that is. Donna, thank you so much for your call. You can push one of your phones.
You
have another question. If you have another question or comment, please let us know. This will continue. We're not going to stop this. We're going to continue teaching about what it's going to take for us to get our mental capabilities back. What is it going to take? I want you guys to raise your hand. This is IWDM Radio, the science of helping you. Our topic for the day is mental health and the war on the African-American child. So I know somebody has some other comments. Please raise your hand. Push one on your phone. I'll open your mic, and you can just share with a comment. You just want to get a greetings, however you want to do it. Just come on and just say something to us. You know, it's just so important that we understand that our population is being diminished. And it don't have to be physical. It's mental. If our children are not participatory, if we don't contribute anything to the gross national product of this country, they have some place for you to produce something for them. It's called the jailhouse. It's called the crazy house. It's called going to prison. You know, it's called being unhealthy and dying, leaving here early, quicker than you're supposed to. It's called black-on-black crime. It's called abortions. It's called all these things are schemes that have been put in place to derail us from our growth and development. They know who we are. We are the most valued commodity in the world, the African-American man and woman here in America. The world is waiting on us. Because they know who we are. We made it through 400 years of this crazy stuff. We've been more traumatized than anybody on the planet because we never had a language. We never had a culture. We never had a belief system. We have never had anything but the Creator who has now made it possible for us to be who we're supposed to be. Now it's up to us. We have no excuse. We have no excuse, ladies and gentlemen. It's up to us to take hold and get this thing done. I have another caller. Donna, thank you so much for calling. Press 1 on your phone. If you want to come back in, please press 1 and come back in, okay?
Okay.
All right. What we have here, just one second. We have 918-814. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open. Any comments you may have?
I'm making Brother Shahid. This is Rahim Rahim, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, Sister Rahim in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're talking about you.
Yes.
We're talking about Tulsa right now.
Yeah, I hear. Yeah,
all
Black
right.
Wall Street is gone. They've taken it over. I'm really upset because they tore down a hospital, and I think it was an historical site right at the end of Greenwood. And a Black man had owned it somehow or another they got it away from him and demolished it. But what I was calling to try to answer your question when you asked how were they able to have the wherewithal, not the wherewithal, but the knowledge to amass so much land that they had gotten. And I just learned recently, or really I guess we all need to kind of think about it, in Africa, I heard someone say in Africa, they don't have credit cards. You know, every right. house you see is owned. The house and the land is owned by the person. And so so if no matter how poor you get, you always have somewhere to stay. You know,
you
and if you buy a car, you can't buy it on credit because, you know, of course, that's against Islam anyway. We shouldn't buy anything on credit. So they can't buy anything on credit. And so they have to pay for their house no matter how shabby it is. You know, they get their little land, pay for their house, or pay for their car. So when you see them with their house or their car, they own it. There is no credit. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you for letting me share. Aslamu alaikum.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. It's so important that we realize, you know, I'm a financial person, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a former bank manager, and I work for corporate finance.
Right.
So what you're saying is true. In the word detrimental, the first four letters is debt. You know,
right.
we have to get a look into the words, you know, debt, and you got mental in there, you know, you're in debt, you got a mental problem.
You got debt, you got mental problem.
Really look at these words that we use, you know, and in the word intelligence, in telecommunication, but in that word intelligence, the word gene is sitting right there, and that's what Abdul Shahid was talking about earlier. In our genes is the makeup of everything that we're supposed to be and everything we can be. In our RNA, we have the manufacturing plants that make all this stuff work. We just have to get to the point where we can program this body. We got to reprogram this body, reprogram this mind, reprogram our arteries and our tissues and our muscles and our capillaries. We don't know how this stuff works. When we learn how this stuff works, When we structure this machine that the Creator has given us, and we really know how all these intricate details work, I'm telling you, we don't even know what dimension we can be on. You know, we just had a workshop on a session on George Washington Carver. He was way beyond anybody's imagination. He talked about energy. He talked about vibrations. He talked about speaking to plants. He talked about if you ever want to talk to God, just go out and look into the universe. The microphone is open. Just say what you have to say, and he will inspire you. Who is this man in 1930 and 1940 talking like this? He submitted his entire will of God because he knew they had nothing else to depend on. There was no schools that could teach them anything. It was the inspiration of the Creator who blessed us, this 400-year slave in this country. Nobody made us. We made ourselves. And that's the power, and that's why we scared this country to death when they see us coming together. And the one thing they have to control, Sister Rahima, is our economics. They got to control the distribution of our money. If they can do that, they got us. If we can't get credit, you know, let's take for credit. We know we live in a credit society. You have a good credit score. You can't get done financed. You can't get a car financed. We don't make enough money to even save any money to do anything with. And where do we put our money in the first place? We give it right back to him, and he makes money off our money and makes it impossible for us to get a loan. These are the things that we go through. We have to understand this social predator, this economic predator, this political predator, this cultural predator who have deprived us of the opportunity to be who we're supposed to be. And that's our problem. They have diminished our human values. They've gotten in the way of our liberties. And they put together a systematic scheme centered on depriving us of wealth and denying us our unalienable rights in this country to operate and function, and this is against the will of time. It is our day. I want you to know that. That's why I'm pressing this. This is 2023. It ain't about me. It's about we. It's our time. If ever we had a just God, this is the time. Because guess what? It's your responsibility now. The doors are open. The covers are taken off. You see, the emperor has no clothes. He has to use violence and laws against you in order to keep you from doing what you have to do. And we have to surpass that. We did it before, and we can do it again. We have to save our baby. Thank you so much, Rahima, for calling in.
Thank you. All right.
This is the IWGM Radio, the science of helping you. And the topic today is the war on our children. Children are our future.
How can they have a future when they don't know what to do? What do we have to do as a community? Each and every last one of us on the phone today, what are you doing to ensure that your children survive and make it in this war? They're walking outside this door every single day, and you don't know who they're coming in contact with. You look at January 6th uprising. These people walking around with guns. They may walk by one of these crazy people one day. They just blow their brains out. You don't even know what happened. Our kids are ill-prepared. They don't know who these people are like we do. We have to prepare them for this crazy world. We can't let them go off to colleges and not educate them about what they're supposed to be doing. We cannot afford to do that. We just cannot afford to allow our children to walk this planet unequipped. Equip them with knowledge. Equip them with intelligence so they can be aware. And we started the show off today. We talked about some of these entertainers who are so-called our kids. They just love Jay-Z and Beyonce. Oh, they love Jay-Z and Beyonce. But if you only knew that Jay-Z owns two different vodkas, one tequila, and he's selling it to you. Ciroc, owned by Drake. Everybody loves Drake. Everybody loves Master P. All these people own manufacturing distributions of alcohol being sold in our communities like crazy, and we're sucking it down to, oh, yeah, what Jay-Z made. And, you know, Abdul Shaheed already told us about what alcohol does to the human body and the psyche. He told us about this fermented fruit, how it messes with our reflexes, how it messes with our reasoning, how it messes with our memory, how it messes with our inability to think and process. Our children don't even want to go to school. Why? Foundationally, they don't see a need for it. Secondly, they don't have the education or the information to even understand why they should do it anyway. They will fight you over certain things. You can't tell these children nothing. They know everything. I'm trying to figure out, what do you know? And we allow them. We feed them. Allow them to participate and stay outside. That your 15 or 16-year-old kids outside at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. A death wish. So please raise your hand if you have something to say. Raise your hand if you have a question that you want to ask. Raise your hand if you want to comment. Just raise your hand if you just want to say something. Because I know we're talking about things that matter. We talk about our children. We talk about the possibility of being eliminated from the history books. And we heard them talk about the universal natural laws. Old must be renewed. We have to renew our old thinking processes. We have to participate in this world in a way that we can contribute to what's happening here. We have to know that our environment has been infected. Our values have been distorted. Our education is irregular, not proper. So this disposition we have, this attitude we have, comes from that environmental community that we grew up in. You know, our children walk by dilapidated buildings. And some of our children never had this experience where they know what poverty is. But yet they send them off to these European schools without the functionality of being able to function and compete with a group that never had the problem that we had. So we wound up kind of going along with them instead of being who we are. To see an African-American person, male or female, it's powerful, and they don't know how you're doing it. I thought all y'all was like this. Oh, you're not like them other blacks. What do you mean I'm not like them other blacks? That's the division that they put in your hearts when you go to these European schools. Oh, John, you're not like the other blacks. And so John's going, no, I'm not like them. You know, who are you like then? The question has to be asked, who are you like? How you go home and look yourself in the mirror and you've been defeated by just a few words? And we know that words make people. We know that words are powerful. We know words are containers of ideas. And we got to share this with our children. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get our children out of this sensationalized thinking that because you sing music, because you're in the movies, that you're somebody special.
They're not special. They're getting your money, and they're making money, and they're investing money into things that make this country work. And they turn around and give it right back to you and sell it to you. Like you don't know alcohol is bad. That's why Bubbling Against Drunk Drivers was so powerful. They know the power of alcohol and what it does. You know, AA meetings. You know, a lot of us have gone to those meetings. A lot of us have gone through drug rehab. You know the power. I'm not sharing. And that's why they go to those meetings, because they can share and they feel good about themselves. Well, how do our children feel about themselves? How many conversations have you had at the dinner table with your child? How many times have you asked them, what did you learn today? Have they been outside smoking weed? Because it's what most of our children are doing. Listen to P. Diddy. Listen to Kevin Hart. Everybody love Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart owns 2 alcohol distributorships. He's not making his money on TV. He's making his money off alcohol. And you wonder why they get so rich so quick. Because they invest in the things that this country invests into that has a devastating effect on the African-American community. I don't want to be like Mike. Michael Jordan also owns a tequila manufacturer. He has what he calls high-quality tequila, what he costs $349 a bottle. Oh, it makes you special. It makes you special, Mike. And you give a few dollars to the African-American community and think you satisfying something, but yet at the same time you're killing people with alcohol. We know alcohol kills. Everybody knows that. So those of you who have a question or answer or you want to talk or you want to say something, we have 10, 15 minutes left on the show. If you want to, you know, give a comment, you want to know a little bit more about history. For those of you who want to know a little bit more about African-American history, we're going to be talking about some of those things. We have some phenomenal people in our community who contribute greatly to this country. Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver, Noble Drew Ali, Carter G. Woodson. He told us about the miseducation of the Negro. Think about what he said. In 1930, you did not go to school to be educated. You went to school to be trained. And the question is, what do you mean? Trained to do what? To participate in this society and not yours. So all those master's degrees, I don't think away from you, but I hate the word master's degree. You want to say it? Master's degree. Those who got the PhDs, you got to go out and ask master for a job when a PhD is supposed to be a doctor. You should be able to write your own ticket. So we've been miseducated. We've been, you know, we have misinformation. We have been given misinformation for 400 years. Now we have uncovered the scheme that is preventing us from being successful. Let us take it to the bank. Ladies and gentlemen, let us take it to the bank, hope we can. Our black churches, quit taking your money to the European bank. You know what they do with your money? I'm a bank manager. I'm going to share something with you. Most of you probably don't know. When you make a deposit into a U.S. American bank, they have the right to borrow 10 times that amount of money that you could deposit in the bank. Let's take, for instance, on Sunday morning, we have 10 churches who go to Bank of America, and they make their deposit. Let's say we have $100,000 in the bank. They turn around and borrow $1 million on your money and don't even loan it back to you. That's how they make money, off your deposit. You give them $100,000, they can go borrow $1 million, 10 times the amount of money that you made in a deposit. It's called fractional banking. And when you come to them for a car loan or a credit card or a house loan, guess what? Oh, your credit score is not high enough. Credit score is a form of redlining. That's all it is. It used to be redlining. Now they call it credit score. It's the exact same thing. They go and look at your zip code. Based on your zip code, they know where you live. They know where you live based on your zip code. Oh, you, and then most of them, you don't realize this, our names. When we send in our resumes, our names and our zip code, they know you African-American, or you know you live in that general vicinity of African-American, so they redline against you on hiring. They don't have to respond to you with if you send in a resume by email. It's called file segregation. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be.
who we supposed to be. We have to know this system. If you don't know the system, how do you intend to teach your child? How you prepare your child to go to school? And just sit there and listen to the professor tell them something, and they can't question him because he's a professor. Professor of what? Your history. Where's mine? Where's my culture history? Now they're denying us in our schools and our children can't even get African-American history in schools anymore. This is sick. This is sick. We have to do something about it. We have to do something about it. So we still have some hands raised. I'm going to go back to those who raised their hand in case you have another question and see if you have something to say before we begin to close down. This is the Science of Health and You on IWDN Radio. I'm going to go back to 773-449. Do you have a question or a comment?
I'm sorry, brother. I see it. I think I left my mic up.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. I'm just checking in as we show down. We appreciate you, brother. Do you have anything you want to say before you get off?
Nothing more than I appreciate, as I said once again, appreciate this show and information that you all are sharing with us. It's so vital. And like you said,
yes, sir.
You just can't hear yes, it. Sir. You got to take, you know, be in action. So thank you so much. That's
yes, sir. Right on. Well, we want you to do this. We want you to come back next week and share, bring a comment, bring a friend, and we'll continue this process until we get to where we have to go. We're on a journey. It's a tough one, but we'll get there. Thank you so much for calling in. All right. We go back to 845-506. You have a comment you want to make before we shut down tonight? 845-506. Okay. All righty. We go back to 317-709. You have a comment before
yes, sir.
We close tonight?
Go yes. ahead. Indianapolis, Indiana. And I want to make a statement. In the Sisters of St. Louis, show me state. I'm going to take you to the South. Mississippi, that's when the South rises. Remember, everybody down the South had property, but they ran north during the time of the freedom of slaves. And right into the new plantation where Mr. Ford took advantage of Mr. Carver. Remember?
Yes.
He spoke the went from plantation to the new plantation, which is the factories. So where are the black cars today? Remember?
Yes.
Patterson
now,
had the bus company going back.
I remember Patterson Auto.
Now, yeah.
They shut down Patterson.
Also,
all those guys went to Ford.
Yeah. Also, Berry Gordy had the best fine and Patrick Art music program. Songs wasn't brought to you, and they were about telling about respect. Now, one more statement. You got to remember, a household consists of husband and wife. My father always said, principal and a formula. Mother and father was principal. But the formula today, they call it stock, the word, what they planted in the individual. That means one thing. You raise your children the way the DNA within you shows how you see the child when they come out. You give them the proper name, the proper education. Remember, you can do your own interventions at home. You have to go to psychiatrists. And remember, patrol your home like patrol any other source of any type of business. Remember, don't allow the child to bring a gun in the house, bring a sack in. Check, make sure the receipt in there. You know what's coming in your environment. Like I said, the South rises. Give respect to the system of St. Louis, show me state, Bobby, Indiana. Go back to Wall Street, Madison J. Walker. We're still standing. I'm like,
I'm like, we so appreciate you, my brother. And you're saying giving us the right information. It starts in the home. You keep going right back to the household, and that's where we're supposed to be. You know, sometimes I think, my brother, that truth scares people. We've been living in this what we call reality. We think we're living in reality. But when we hear the truth, it knocks this falsehood in the head, and we just stop. We don't want to change. We've been doing this wrong stuff for so long that we're scared to change for the fear of not knowing. And that's why we're here on the air every Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We come to bring information and education, things that we don't know about, and maybe things that we forgot about. But we got to get out of this comfortable situation that it's all right. It's not all right. All children are your children. You know, in my, when I grew up, and I know you probably know this too, you couldn't do nothing wrong on your block without somebody on that block telling on you or checking you every single time before you got home. So we always had this camaraderie of community life, and our goal is to build community life, and we can't do that without individuals taking care of themselves and families being in existence so we can have a community. So you stay on that point, man. I appreciate you giving that information out to a radio listening audience, and please come back and continue to come back and tell somebody else about it. So thank you so much for showing.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, and we have 219-484. Please state your name. Tell us where you called from. You have a comment.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamel Rashid from Gary Nana.
Yes, sir.
Before you,
all right, my
before
brother.
Before you sign off, I'm doing good.
Oh, you got
I'm
time? You saw you got time. I have extended time for those who want to stay on. I mean, it's just not 2 hours. But I got extended time. So when someone come on like you, Dr. Jamel Rashid, we want to hear what you have to say.
All right. Well, it's excellent program, definitely, and remaking the world. In other words, remaking
yes.
the mind. That
yes.
We can do it ourselves. You know, we have had many tours before us that continuously pass on the torch. And the one highlight that I want to reference is Dr. Carter G. Woodson. We
yes.
spoke of re-education. Not only is education more and goes far beyond academics, we have to recognize that education is holistic.
Yes.
Many people are, for example, our biggest contender in ignorance is our own emotions. You know, our emotions are designed holistically or dualistically to be our best friend.
Yes, sir.
Or our worst enemy. And just having that emotional intelligence of recognizing the eternal enemy. You know, this world has deceived us to constantly look at Satan as external, which they are manipulators that
mm-hmm.
manipulate the outside world. But we have to recognize that Jin is within our
yes,
own
sir.
Emotions,
mm-hmm.
our own emotions that we try to justify under the label excuses.
Mm-hmm.
When we constantly recognize that we try to always rectify a situation with excuses, then we become our own worst enemy.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Understanding that, two words I would like to leave the audience to think about that is when you all brought up earlier that we were successful when we were and segregated.
Right.
We see the works of our success when we do for self.
Right.
Starting from the home outward and doing for self. You don't excel when you expect somebody to take care of your physical hygiene.
Right.
You know, there's an internal peace when you are doing for self, and you can go a billion reasonings to justify that or to make it real about
right.
what occurs spiritually to your spirit when you're doing for yourself. But two words that the system, classism, you know, that is undertone. It's not spoken enough because there are other isms that try to divert our attention. So diversion
right.
is a problem to be distracted
yes,
from the real enemy, which is classism. You know, you
mm-hmm.
have historically where families, you hear about the English Commonwealth, where
uh-huh.
they control. If people had to seek independence from the Commonwealth, then what does it tell you about the Commonwealth? They tell you that they were tyrants.
Right.
And so democracy is at stake today because democracy is not that old
right.
compared to tyrant that they want to call it, you know, just the words left and right. Those are horrible terminologies
right.
to try to put
yeah.
in a political climate. to make it seem that the most worst people are considered the right. What's the subliminal message in that to label them as the right? And then the ones who supposedly are for the people, they're considered left, but what's another word for left is wrong. When you're dealing with right and wrong, left and right, they just don't put it as wrong. Wrong.
Right.
So you're looking at the manipulation of words that are modern-day enslavers, words.
Right.
And so when I spoke up earlier about the two words that in segregation, when they recognize that we can't segregate these Negroes, we got to make it think that they are integrated. So they gave us a false perception. When you have a perception that's wrong, then everything else is going to go wrong if your perception is wrong. So you look at the mythology of how they flipped the script to say that segregation is not the answer. This is the classist mentality now, stepping back into the picture. With the propaganda, yes, look at the word propaganda and look at the history of propaganda. You know, in, I think it was 1622, it was the Cardinals of Rome. They orchestrated a mythology to corrupt the world with propaganda. That's false information.
Right.
So what the classes did to get away from that segregation, workable, practical solution for the Negro was bring in complacency and contentment. So those two words, to be complacent and content, it's just like what my co-host, Brother Henry R.C. from Mobile, Alabama, made an excellent analogy of saying that you can enslave a dog by putting a rope around his neck and tie it to a post. But then you decide to build a fence for that dog to roam around. So you take the rope off the neck of the dog and let him roam around in the enclosed fence. The other slave was that dog free.
Right.
So with complacency and contentment, all has been removed from around our necks is false beliefs, false perceptions, false ideas, wrong concepts. And we know that many other wrongs allude to the external characteristics that can become persuasive internally, known as the Satan.
Okay.
So we have a lot to be thankful for bringing Allah blessing us with Imam Muhammad as our leader and teacher. We don't recognize the empowerment that was gifted to the downtrodden, called so-called ex-enslaved, to have such profound wisdom that has the power to resurrect the entire dead culture of death.
Right. Okay.
That we as constantly witnessing every single day. So we are on the right course, and we have to maintain steadfastness. And I thank you all for being able to allow me a few words to express
this
excellent program.
Thank you so much. You come on, brother. Thank you for showing up and sharing with us, because, you know, you are a teacher. You know, you're a psychologist. You're a doctor. You all that. And so when we have that opportunity to hear from our historians, shall I say, we have to open the mic to you and allow you the opportunity to see what you have to say. We thank you, appreciate you, and please come back. We're going to be on this topic on mental health, Dr. Rashid, for probably the next 2 months. you know, we're going to talk about the whole human anatomy, but we're going to always take it right back to the brain. It has to go back to the brain. Even a psychologist now is trying to change mental health and call it brain health. You know, so when you start talking about emotional intelligence, they have been talking about emotional intelligence for a long time. Now it's prime time for them to bring that in, but they want to say brain health. Brain, you know, so they want to address the brain because everybody's figuring out this mental health stuff don't work. Nobody's addressing our trauma, our adverse childhood experience. Nobody's addressing that. And they know the more educated we get, the more powerful we become, and the doors are wide open for us to take this thing and run with it. So thank you so much and appreciate you. And come back again, please.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, no problem.
So anybody else who have something to say, we're going to get ready to close down here and make our final announcements. We just want to thank you guys because we wouldn't be able to do this show without you, and we appreciate you coming on. And we thank you for your comments. I know we had 1 hour of Abdul Shaheed, but you know what? We're still talking about the same thing that he was talking about, why our brains are not functioning right. The reflexes, the reasoning, the memory, the things that we take in, the alcohol, the drugs, and the prison, all this stuff that we talked about has a direct reflection on why our children are dysfunctional. If their brains are not functioning right because we haven't put into their system, I mean, the diet is more than one way. It's not only just physical, it's also mental. And I hate the word diet, but, you know, we have to understand something. That word diet has D-I-E in front of it, and it got a T that looks like a cross. So I don't like that word, but that's what it is. We have to understand that as long as we understand it, we can use it. You know, and I use the acronym that Mark Shaheed gave me, diet. Do I eat that physically? Do I eat that mentally? Do I eat that by sight? Do I eat that by hearing? Our five senses directly affect our diet. So we have to be conscious at all times what we put in our mouths. Conscious at all times what we look at on the TV screen. Conscious at all times of the conversations that we hear. All of our senses tell us something about our ability to function and keep our operating system intact. That's the key. And Dr. Jamal, he made it very, very plain. Misconception, misunderstanding, disinformation, words that they use that drive us one way, we think another way. We must begin to do our science research. We must begin to research everything that goes on. More importantly, we need to research our community. We need to research this country and make sure that we can come together. Join your neighborhood association. Start this process. They are looking for us to lead. If you don't think so, we are the most valuable commodity in America right now because everything is directed towards us. Everything is directed towards us. Jailhouses, drugs, disinformation, misinformation, you know, social information. We forgot this one thing. If we do not have a foundation, which we call our culture, if we do not allow our belief system to be put in place, if we don't allow our language to be utilized, our knowledge base, our experiences, our beliefs, our values, our attitudes, our religion, our concept of the universe, if we don't allow those things to happen, we have no foundation, we have no cultural identity, and they will wipe us off this planet mentally, physically, and culturally. So let's think in terms of those type of things. So we have one more caller. I'm going to put you on the line. And once this is over, we're going to close out and share with you what goes on at IWDM Radio. And Dr. Jamal, you didn't have a chance to tell us about your show. It's on IWDM Radio. I hope you're still there. And tell us about your show that comes on Thursday on AM 360. Share that with the radio listening audience, and then we'll take 111. Dr. Jamal? Did he lose the line? Yeah, he must have dropped off. No problem. So we're going to take 111, 111. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, I wanted to, I guess I must have missed, but my brother Abdul Shaheed wasn't on tonight, or
yes,
he
ma'am.
Was just on.
Yes.
What was the first hour?
Yeah, he was on for the first hour because he had a previous engagement with AM360, so he wasn't able to stay.
Yes,
so,
sir.
He was on,
so,
and
One thing I wanted to say, and then I'll hang up.
Okay.
I've been researching lately, again, the history of mental health in this country, and it is atrocious. And everything has been directed toward experimenting on black folk. We were the guinea pigs. So we need to, if you don't already know, all of us need to look at the history of mental health going way back from the beginning, our enslavement and up to now, where they have basically targeted us, our population, to be wiped out or driven crazy or put on some kind of drugs, torture, all kind of experimentation. So we need to know this. We need to know this. It's not mental health. It's mental sickness. It's mental. It really is sick care. So we need to know this, because going to them for any kind of treatment is not worth going to doing.
Absolutely, Sister Mina.
So I just wanted to say that. Salam alaikum.
I appreciate you. Wigmasan, you said a mouthful. You said an absolute mouthful. And that's so important that we have to have self-care, not self-care. Self-care.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Jamal, I think I got you back on the line. Let us know about your show that comes on Thursday on AM 360. The mic is open.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, one thing I want to stress and appreciate, the freedom the IWDM gives our community that reportedly is under the leadership or association of Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Abay.
Yes.
It's the freedom to share what we all claim to be, but we discriminate against ourselves.
Right.
There are block radio affiliations within our community that wants to say one thing but do another, and
right.
that is to read of what we offer 7 days a week.
Yes, sir.
And all our block radio affiliates that have something fantastic information to offer, but several want to discriminate and stop spreading the PR, public relations, of what we do offer by saying you can't say this and can't say that. And all you're doing is sharing what we do have to spread among ourselves.
Right.
So that's
right.
one enemy within that we're going to continuously let the community know that there are mentalities that got the mic that's trying to stop that information from being spread and shared amongst our own community members.
Yes, sir. I agree
with you. On Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. Central, Brother Henry Hasse, Instructor Henry Hasse of Mobile, Alabama, we've been sharing with the community on AM 360. For the past 7 or so years on critical issues, that solutions to critical issues, the name of our program, and we invite you all, even though it conflicts with other blog radios, but you have that freedom of choice to join us each and every Thursday morning. If you can't make it in the live studio, then there are means through technology that you can hear our program later, just knowing the technology that you work so very well in letting people know how to get recorded programs. So the recordings are available. But
each and
every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 7 is Critical Issues, for Solutions for Critical Issues, and that's AM 360. And I'm sure, Brother Mark will give the number, 425-292-4. 4253 is a live studio audience that you can chime in each and every Thursday morning from 6 a.m.
Okay.
to 7 Central Standard Time. We thank you, Brother Shahid, for allowing me the opportunity to promote our program.
No problem, brother. That's what we do here on IWM Radio. You know, we have to spread the word. We have to work with each other. If we don't have each other, what do we have? You know, so I always say this, and I got to learn from my good brother, Paul. You can't be what you can't see. So we have to be able to see and hear and talk and affiliate ourselves with each other so we can see who each other are, so we can separate ourselves from those who try to have power over us. And this is that's what it's all about. Somebody wants to have power. Well, there is no power. God is the only power. Our job is to work together and put our programs together and save ourselves so we can save our community. And it's so important that we reveal the truth from falsehood. You know, this eternal servitude has to go away. This crucifixion
exactly.
of our culture, it has to go. It just has to
exactly.
go. So this large-scale strategy that we're trying to do, Dr. Jamal, we have to come together. We have no choice because these people have a war going on for our minds, and they have a target on our young people's back, and we have to be able to help them defend themselves and understand what's taking place. So once again, thank you for the information. And those who want to get on the line again on Thursday morning, give that number one more time, 425 what?
425-292-4253.
Very good. All right. Thank you so much, my good brother. And, you know, assalamu alaikum. I look forward to hearing you on Thursday. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All righty. We're at the end of the show. We kind of went overboard today, guys. That's okay. We're going to be doing this on mental health and saving our children for the rest of this year. We're going to be doing it. We're not going to stop. Even though we're going to be talking about health, even though we're going to talk about what to eat and what not to eat, it has a direct reflection on our way we think. And we need to change this paradigm has to change. It has to change if we're going to be successful because people are waiting on us to change the world. And I believe this from the bottom of my heart. That's what brought me to this way of life. Three words, remake the world. I believe that. I believe it from the bottom of my heart that we can remake this whole society. We can use our influences. And that's all we're talking about, influencing the world to change. And the world is waiting on us. They know who we are. They know who we are. We are the only untapped mind in the world. And they don't have any control over this because they did not create this mind. They did not create this African-American group here. We came here as slaves, but we are new people with a new language and a new mind, and we have to believe that if we're going to have some success. We have to believe that. So we're at the end of our show. We're going to have our public service announcer come on and tell us what else is happening on IWDM. I mean, real information that we can use as parents. We can use those of us who are married and need to get married or need to refresh our marriage and need to get, you know, we can use this information. So we have those shows here on IWDM. We welcome you to come on, bring somebody with you, share information with us, and we'll share with you. So we have our public service announcer, Mark Shahid, come on the line and tell us what's happening on IWDM Radio for the rest of the week. Mark Shahid.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM Radio listening audience. The beat goes on here on IWDM Radio. As tomorrow is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaw-O'Dean out of Miami, Florida, joins yours truly. And that learning lab begins each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable here on IWDM Radio, where I always have very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and also outside of the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. On Thursday, it's the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's the courtship and marriage learning lab. And that is with Karan Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. Joins yours truly each and every Thursday night. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. So, inshallah, this Thursday, it will be the fourth in a series on communication, or the fifth in a series on communication, as you will hear some live role-playing by Karan Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shahid. So you want to tune in for that. And Friday is slot to Juma Day for those who are immobilized, can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished Imam, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. And that happens each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, the longest-running production on IWDM Radio, once again with Imam Mikhail Sayer. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. Starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's High Noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, but words make people. And we're back to the beginning of the week, and you just heard it live here. Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his off-returning host, Instructor Abdul Shahid, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. That happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And just as Rashid Salam, those who come from our sister station, we always give an opportunity to advertise for their production on the other venues that have Islamic programming. So we want to thank you, and please make sure you keep up your subscription for the Muslim Journal. And if you have the wherewithal to help another to get that subscription, for it's the lifeblood of our community. So until next time, this Islam is for you and yours. And remember, the theme for IWDM Radio, set yourself free in 2023 by thinking with the Quran. Back to you, Rashid Salam.
Well, Mark, thank you so much. And I think this is an appropriate way to leave. Wake up, everybody. Time to think a new way. Maybe people listen to what we have to say. You know, and we're going to let Teddy Pendergrass close it out. And we thank you once again for tuning in to IWDM Radio. This is the Science of Health for you. I am Rashid Salam, your host and engineer. We'll come back with you next. No more back thinking, make our body.
World has changed so very much of what it used to be.
Teddy Pendergrass, assalamu alaikum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much of what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. No bad.
just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it, yeah.
That's all, folks. See you next Tuesday. Salaam alaikum.